Today's shiur is Masechta Bava Basra Daf Chaf. We will begin on Daf Chaf from an hour, four lines from the top, Meisve. In our previous shiur, we had learned the halacha of Shmuel. Shmuel told us that if you have two rooms, and a mace is in one of those rooms with his tumas oil, and the discussion we had was if there's a window between those two rooms, does the tumma pass through that window? And the Gemara taught us that if the window is a tefach, then it will pass. But Shmuel taught us that if there are things that are blocking, that prevent the tumma to go through, you don't have the tefach, then the tumma will not pass through. And we discussed different items that can serve to block. So the Gemara begins with this b'raisa masechta olos, that speaks about different items that have the ability to diminish this tefach. Asavim shetalshon, the Brisa speaks about grass that was pulled out of the ground, v'nichem b'chaloyim, and they were put into the window, or she'olam aleim b'chaloyim, or they grew by themselves in the window, u'matlonius, if we have pieces of material, she'im b'em sholosh al sholosh, that aren't the size of three etzbos by three etzbos, ve'eva ve'abosam l'udolim, limbs or meat that are hanging b'behema b'chaya, a part of the animal is somewhat detached and they're standing next to the window. Still, these are now not mukshel kabotuma, as we discussed quite extensively in our previous year. In order for the tumma to be able to have a chatzitza, we have to have something which is makabel tumma. But if it's something which is not going to be makabel tumma, then it can't serve a chatzitza. But here we're speaking about foods that were never mukshel kabel tumma. V'oif sheshachim b'chaloyim, a live bird, and even though Tosfos points out that the Gemara Masechta Erevin, Daf Tes Vav Amud Beis, teaches us that something that's alive can't be considered a wall for sukkah, that's not the same here. Because here we're not speaking about a wall. Here we're speaking about what could serve as a blockage for the tumah to pass. Akum is not mekabel tumma, because as the pasuk says, "Vishishi tam of a nefesh nefeshim etoich hakol." Only somebody who's part of Klal Yisrael is subject to tumma. This is not somebody who's part of Klal Yisrael. And even though Tosfos points out that we know Chazal made a gzeira that the akum are tameim kezovim, that they're considered tamei like a zov, but since midaraisa they are not mekabel tumma, they can serve as a chatzitza, as far as tumma is concerned. And the Ramban takes this a step further. And the Ramban says that that doesn't mean that anything that's only tumei midrabanan can serve as a chatzitza. What the Ramban says, what it means to say is, if something has a tumma midaraisa, so even in this particular case, it's not tumei midaraisa, so there we'll say that it cannot serve as a chatzitza. But an akum doesn't have even midaraisa, a source that it's tamei, it's only midrabanan, and therefore the akum could serve as a chatzitza. Or ben shmoina, hamino b'chaloin, a child that's born to 8 months. So a child that's born to 8 months, while he's still alive, the halacha, Rashi explains, he's not considered like somebody who's alive, and he's not considered like somebody who's not alive. Because in the Gemara's time, any child that was born to 8 months cannot really survive. But on the other hand, he's not considered dead because he is, at this point, alive. The Chazanish makes a very important point. Chazanish says, Nishtanu Hativim, and the world has changed. And even though in the time of Chazal, somebody is a child that's 8 months old cannot survive, that is not the case. B'zman hazeh, Baruch Hashem, v'melech, salt, because even though we often speak here about tumas oichel, since salt cannot be eaten by itself, so that's why it's not mekabel tuma. The Meches Chinuch, however, quotes Rishonim that say we do have places where we see that salt is mekabel tuma, and because of that, the Meches Chinuch explains we'll have to explain that the salt that's being discussed in our Gemara is salt which was not mukhsh lekabel tuma, and since it was not mukhsh lekabel tuma, that's why it's certainly not something that's mekabel tuma. The kli cheres, earthenware, which we've discussed as recently as our previous year, is not mekabel tuma if the inside is not towards the house, because the kli cheres is only mekabel tuma me'aviroi from its interior, not from its exterior. The sefer Torah, if a sefer Torah is not a keli, and therefore it's not mekabel tuma. Kulam mematin b'chaloid, they all have the ability to diminish the tefach of the window that we were speaking about. Avla shelig, when we speak about snow, v'aborit, hail, v'glitz, ice, v'akfor, these are both different types of ice. In all these cases, emematen b'chaloid, since they're not going to be there on a permanent basis, since they're not going to be there on a permanent basis, therefore, they're not able to serve as something to diminish the opening. Ask the Gemara, but now let's try to understand the various items that were discussed. Grass can be eaten by an animal, and Shmuel's opinion is that something that's not going to remain there cannot diminish the opening. So why is the grass considered something that could diminish the opening? Answers the Gemara, we're speaking here about grass, which is a frasto. It's a type of grass which is inedible. Ask the Gemara, Oisha Olam Aleim, we spoke about grass that grew on the window. But ask the Gemara, grass growing on the window is detrimental to the window. So ask the Gemara, Kivin the Kosh L'Koysel, since this grass is detrimental to the window, so ask the Gemara, why should it be considered that it's going to be there? Shakalu, everybody's going to remove such grass. Amar Rabba, we're speaking here about a Koysel Churva, a wall of a house that's not meant to stay, it's a dilapidated home. Papa Mafil Bekoisel Yishuv, of a home that's going to stay, the grass is not growing out of the window itself, they're growing with a distance from the window, and therefore, since they're growing in such a fashion, they don't do damage to the window. We spoke about the matlonius. Ask the Gemara, but when we speak about matlonius, the piece of material, can they not be used for a patch if somebody's clothing was torn? Answers the Gemara, b'samichta. It's a type of thick material that cannot and will not be used to as a patch of material. But ask the Gemara, hachazal umna. This could be used by the person who's a bloodletter that will use it to clean the wound. Answers the Gemara, we're speaking about beriska, a piece of material that comes from sath, from sackcloth, and that's rough on the skin. Iberiska, so ask the Gemara, if we're talking about that kind of a piece of material, Shemba Shalosh al Shalosh, why did the Braisa have to indicate that it's not 3x3 etzbos? The halacha ought to be Shemba Arba al Arba Miboile. When is Sak Mekabel Tuma? When it's the size of a dalal al dalad tfachim. Here it seems that once it would be 3 etzbos, it would be Mekabel Tuma. Answers the Gemara, it's not actually Sak, it's Ke'en Risk, it's similar to Sak. We learned further, but ask the Gemara, we have this attached to the animal, and the animal is certainly not going to remain stationary. Ark of Oz, it's going to run away. Answers the Gemara, B'kshura, where it's speaking about a case where it's tied it down. But ask the Gemara, Shachalei, but he intends obviously to kill this animal, and then you're going to take it to eat. Says the Gemara, speaking about betameya, a non-kosher animal which will not be taken to eaten. But ask the Gemara, mazman al-nachri, it's going to be sold to a nachri. And says the Gemara, bechusha, we're talking about an animal that is a weak animal and not doesn't have much meat. It's not going to be sold. The Yad Ramah, says the Gemara, could have said we're speaking on Shabbos. And on Shabbos, the animal cannot be taken. The Shabbos, it can't be taken to be slaughtered. But ask the Gemara, the pasuk shadar leil klovim, the animal could be thrown to the dogs. Answers the Gemara, kivin diketzar bal chayim. If you're going to remove that limb from the animal, that it revolves tzar bal chayim, and of course we are prohibited from doing tzar bal chayim. And in fact, I saw the Chashuki Chemed, as our Gemara here indicates, that there's a concern of Tzar Bal Chaim. He discusses if there are cats, mice, that enter somebody's home, is somebody allowed to exterminate them? And he says that this question was asked to Rabbi Yoshua Zatzal. He says Rabbi Yoshua's opinion was that one should try to avoid killing an animal unless it's absolutely necessary. And he says that there's a question of machloikus of Tzar Bal Chaim is a deraisa or the rabbanon. And even though the Noi de Behuda says that even if there's a question about Tzar Bal Chaim, killing an animal doesn't involve Tzar Bal Chaim. But on the other hand, says the Chashuki Chemed, that's by an animal, a kosher animal, that's going to be slaughtered to be eaten. So animal that's going to be slaughtered to be eaten, there's no Tzar Bal Chaim, because that's what animals were meant for. But if it's a non-kosher animal, then there would be maybe Tzar Bal Chaim. Another point that he quotes is the Marsham, and Chelek Dalet Simen Mem Kuf Mem, who says that spreading poison where on a field where they may cause damage, he says that's not considered a concern of Tzar Bal Chaim, because that's doing for a very, very constructive purpose. But under other circumstances, we have to be most concerned about Tzar Bal Chaim. V'oif sheshochem b'chaloyim. So the Gemara said we also spoke about a bird who's in the window. But ask the Gemara, how could that be a way to diminish the opening? Baruch Vazel, isn't the bird going to fly away? Answers the Gemara, it's talking about kosher. It's tied down. But ask the Gemara, Shachatle, isn't this a bird that you're going to slaughter to eat? Says the Gemara, Betamei. But ask the Gemara, even if it's a non-kosher bird, Mazman Leila Nachri, it's going to be sold to a Nachri. Answers the Gemara, we're speaking about Kalinusa, a bird that doesn't have much meat on it. No Nachri is going to buy such a bird to eat. Ask the Gemara, but still, Yolav Yenuka, he's going to give it to his child to play with. Says the Gemara, Masaret. It's a bird that has the ability to scratch the child, and therefore we don't have to worry. So the Mishnah Melech asks that the Gemara Masech to Shabbos says we're not allowed to give a grasshopper to a child to play with, because we need to be concerned that the child will play with it, the child may come to eat it, and it's a non-kosher insect. So why over here are we not concerned? So says the Magen Avraham, since over here we're talking about a bird that's not edible raw, we're not worried that the child, if the bird dies, is going to eat it. Ask the Gemara, why is an akum that's on the window, why is that not a concern? Kaiva Ozel, why could he diminish? Why should we not be concerned that he's just going to walk away? Bekofus, he's tied down. But ask the Gemara, Asa Chavri, Sharle, why should we be concerned that somebody's going to untie it? Talking, answers the Gemara, Metzaira, that the person is a Metzaira, nobody is going to want to touch him. But ask the Gemara, yes, a regular person doesn't want to touch a Metzaira. But Asa Chavri, Asa Metzaira Chavri Shadle, the next Metzaira is going to not have a concern and untie him. It says, it's speaking about somebody who was imprisoned by the king. and as the Yad Rama explains, for a certain amount of time, and nobody's going to have the temerity to let him out. And we spoke about the child that's 8 months old that diminishes. But ask the Gemara, the mother's going to come and pull him away. Answers Gemara b'Shabbos. This Bryce is speaking about when this is taking place on Shabbos. The Tanya ben Shmoina Hareyu Ka'evin, a child in those times that was born to 8 months, Halacha considers him like a stone, and therefore he may not be moved on Shabbos. What is permissible, the mother could bend over if she has an abundance of milk to alleviate herself. She shouldn't get into danger because of the milk. Ask the Gemara, Melech Chazilei, why salt could be used for diminishing? You could use the salt. Answers Gemara Merita, it's salt that's not usable. But ask the Gemara, may not be usable for eating. Chazil Iris, it could be used for salting hides. Answers the Gemara, the Isbei Kaitse, that there are thorns in the salt, and therefore they're not going to give it to use it for processing leather. But ask the Gemara, even the kashlakaisa shekla, if it's this type of salt, it's obviously detrimental to the wall and it's going to be removed. Answers the Gemara, the yasva chaspa. It's sitting on a piece of shard, it's not directly on the windowsill. But therefore ask the Gemara, chaspa gufa tekrit, because let's talk about the earthenware itself. Why do that should diminish the opening? Answers Gemara, the less b'shura. We're talking about a chaspa that doesn't have enough area to diminish the wall. Kritnan, cheres. When we speak about cheres, what is considered a decent amount of cheres? When we have two things that are not standing still, we put a piece of cheres in between. And therefore, you have to have that amount. Kli cheres. But ask the Gemara, we spoke about Kli Cheres, but ask the Gemara, HaChazilei, isn't it usable? Answers the Gemara, the Mitnef. Ask the Gemara, HaChazilei, it's dirty. That's not usable. But ask the Gemara, HaChazilei, it can be used by a blood letter, that should be where he could catch the blood. Says the Gemara, the Minkov, it has a hole, and therefore it can't be used to catch the hole. It can't be used to catch the hole. Ask the Gemara, Sefer Torah, Chazal Mikra. Why can't we say, what about Sefer Torah? We're going to use it to read from. And it's the Gemara Boli. We're talking about a Sefer Torah that's not usable. Ask the Gemara, but isn't that Locha the Sefer Torah that's not usable? Vaboy Gneza. You have to bury it, not leave it on the windowsill. And it's the Gemara, Shamta Gnezosai. We're speaking about a situation where it's being kept there. And the way I saw the Ritva explains the Gemara, the halacha is that the Sefer Torah is buried next to a Talmud Chacham. So when do we bury the Sefer Torah? When, unfortunately, Lo'aleinu, a Talmud Chacham is Nifter. So when the Talmud Chacham is Nifter, we take this Sefer Torah to bury, we take the Sefer Torah and put him next to the Talmud Chacham. But till then, till that occasion comes, he's left there. And since it's left there, that's why it could diminish. Amar Rabba kol ois mechitza, everything can be used as a mechitza, chutz mimelech v'revav, except for fats and chaylev, different types of salt and fat. V'shemul amar filo melech. Amar papa v'loy pligi. There's really no machloikas here. Hava melech sedoimus, which is hard like a stone, and therefore will stay there in a permanent places. Ha, Melchus Trachonis, regular salt, that's not going to remain there permanently. Says the Gemara, Hashta da Amar Rava, Oysa Adam, Shnei Tziburi Melech, a person can make two piles of salt, each 10 tefachim tall, or Menechalem Kaira, then put the Kaira in order to be able to carry the Marim Sacht Ervin, teaches us at times, you have to make a kaira. The halach is, you could use the two piles of salt for the side post. Shemelech, my medicine is a kaira. The salt will support the beam. The kaira, my medicine is melech. I feel a melech is trukonis. Even we could be speaking about Melchas to Koinus, Vloy Pligi, Hadik a Kaira. If there's a beam, it supports it. For Hadalaka a Kaira, if there is no beam, so there's no support, and therefore it can't be used as a wall. We learned in the Mishnah, Machikim as a Rechev, Merichikim as a Rechayim, Shloishim and a Shechev. We spoke about the mill that has a base, which is wider than what's on top of the base. So we learned in the Mishnah, when we have to distance things from the wall, we distance the base 3 tfachim, shein arba min arechav, which is 4 tfachim from the top. My tama, why is there a need to do so? Answers the Gemara Mishum Teria, because of the vibration of the earth that's next to the wall. The Tanya, ask the Gemara v'shal chamor, when we're using a mill that's done by the donkey, Shloishim in a stabula, we have to distance 3 tfachim from the base, shen arba min akelach, which is 4 tfachim from the top. Now, if the concern is only because of vibration, so that when you have a regular mill, there's vibration. But if the donkey is just pulling it, my tiryaka, where is the vibration? Says the Gemara, the reason it has to be distance is mishum color, because of the noise that the mill produces, and that noise exists whether it's a regular mill or a mill run by an animal. The satana, we spoke about the oven, we have to distance from the wall shloishim and akalya, three for the bottom, shehein arba min asofa. Amar Abaya, shmamina, from here we learn, kalya the tana tofach, the base of the tefach is wider than the top. Ask the Gemara, why must we know this? Says the Gemara, nafkamina lameka chumemka. We have to know this for if somebody is buying a tanner, they have to have the proper dimensions. And if they don't have the proper dimension, then it's not. Then I could say it was a makam tos. There's a question that the Rashba brings a Gemara in Yerushalmi and Machloikis. When we measure from the tanner, is it from the inside or from the outside? And he says that it makes sense to say that the 3 tfachim that we have to distance from the wall mean that the after the walls of the tanner. The Mishnah and now the Gemara discussed about snow and different things. Can they serve as a mechitza? And there's a question, an interesting question. What's the halacha if there's snow that falls on the top of the sukkah? What is ice that falls on the top of the sukkah? What is going to be the halacha? So the Pesach can say that even though we're learning in a Gemara, they will not, our Gemara is teaching us that they will not necessarily disappear. So why should they not be considered a problem? But it seems that most Paiskim are of the opinion that ultimately they won't be there, and that's enough to solve that it's not a problem if they fall on top of the sukkah. Says the Mishnah, L'yamir Odom Tana B'toich Abayis. So our Mishnah begins to discuss safety issues. L'yamir Odom Tana B'toich Abayis, somebody cannot put a oven in his home. Elm Kain Yesh Al Gabav, unless he leaves on top of it, Gavaya Arba Amos, until the ceiling, that Chas V'Shalom, there shouldn't be a fire coming up from the oven and touching the ceiling. If the tana is on the upper floor, so you have to have a solid base under it. You have to have below it a floor, a strong floor, which is 3 tfachim deep. And the Rashi says that we have to always have these dimensions. In other words, the question is, what's going to be the halacha if there's no upper floor? I only have a one-story home. Will these halachas apply? So Rashi seems to learn that if the people of the city also don't want chas v'shalom to take place, a fire to take place in the city, and therefore, even though there's no neighbor to be concerned about, they still need these dimensions to keep the city safe. A bakira, which is a smaller oven, as we learned in Masechta Shabbos, all we need to have is a floor under it, a tefach. But it's interesting to point out The Mishnah only speaks about what kind of floor you have to have under the Kira. The Mishnah does not discuss what is the distance you have to have, like we spoke about the tanner, from the top of the tanner to the ceiling. So the Yad Ramah says that we follow the same formula. And he says that just like when we spoke about the tanner, the formula was a third, so too, that will be the same formula. But then I saw that there are other Rishonim that have very different approaches. Some say when it comes to the height, the tanner and the kira are the same. And that's the reason the Mishnah didn't discuss the height of the kira, because it's not necessary to be discussed. It's the same. Others say that a kira doesn't need anything on top. And then a third opinion I saw is unlike a tanner where the opening is on the top, the kira is the opening is on the side, and therefore there's much less of a concern. Kira tefach from Hizik, if it did damage, mishalem asher Hizik, then you will be held responsible. You will be held responsible. And the Balaita says that this halacha applies in all situations, according to the halacha, that even though you follow the rules, that doesn't mean if chas v'shalom something happens, you're not considered a mazik. V'm hizik, mishal ma'ashe hizik. You're going to be held responsible. V'm shimon aymer, le'emer kol shir ma'erlo, el shim hizik patam l'shalom. No, if you follow the rules, says Rav Shimon, you have nothing to be concerned about. So I saw Rav Shmuel Rozovsky has two ways of approaching why in understanding Rav Shimon's opinion. One is that you're not considered a mazik. Somebody who follows the rules cannot be considered a mazik. Another explanation that he suggests is that of course you're a mazik, but you're not. There's a special Rishus Bezdin that if you follow the rules, you don't have to be held responsible. Continues the Mishnah. Somebody should not open up a bakery or a dye shop under somebody else's warehouse. Nor should he open up a barn with animals, because of course the terrible smell that emanates. Be'emis, and says the Mishnah, Be'emis, and there's a different pshatim, and Be'emes, but they all come to the same point, that Be'emes means that it's like Aloch L'Moshe M'Sinai, even when it's not Aloch L'Moshe M'Sinai, it's treated like Aloch L'Moshe M'Sinai. Others say that whenever we see the word Be'emes means that that is the Halacha. When you see the word Be'emes, then it's considered that you should know that this is the firm Halacha. Be'emes Amru, Yayin Hitiru, one could open up a barn or bakery, whatever. One could open up a bakery or a dye shop under wine warehouse. Avloy Refes Bucker, he may not open up a barn under animals. But Tanya asked the Gemara, Batana Arba, Bakira Shloisha, we began, the Brisa says, that by Tanner we have to have a floor of four tfachim, and Bakira of three tefachim. Our Mishnah says that by Tana you need three tefachim and Bekira one tefach is enough. Answers the Gemara, Amar Bar Ki Tana, that Brice is speaking about Benachtoinim, the oven of a baker. And the oven of a baker needs more base. The Tana the donkey, Kira the Nachtoinim, our Tana is equal to the Kira of Nachtoinim because the baker have this big ovens, they need a lot more support. So I saw the Rajba asks, the Braisa only speaks about contrasting what is the halacha on the base of the tanner and kira of a baker versus a regular base, regular oven. What about the distance that we spoke in the Mishnah from the top? That is not discussed. So the Rajba says that as far as what's the halacha on the top, there it's all the same, whether it's a professional oven or regular oven. Le'yifta chanus, you're not allowed to open up this store under somebody else's warehouse. However, says the Braisa, Tana, imhaya refes, kaidem leitzer, if your barn was there before the warehouse was made, mutter, the halacha is that you may you may leave it there. You don't have to take it away. And even though we learned and will learn that there are situations that even though if you put something first, you have to remove it, here that isn't halacha. Bye-bye, kibit v'ribit loitzer. I didn't make it yet into an oitzer, but it's clear that I wanted to make it. I cleaned it out to be used as a warehouse. Mahu, what will be the halacha? Well, a warehouse typically had a lot of windows. Riba b'chaloinus mahu, and I made all these windows. Bona aliyah agaba meisoi, or if somebody built an upper story, and it's clear that the purpose of him building this upper story is to make a place for his warehouse. What? And that these were all done before you made the store on bottom. Is it considered as if the warehouse is already there, or it wasn't there? And the Gemara on all these questions remains with a teiku. But if one of Shua Tamri v'Rimoni Mai, what's going to be halacha if they used as a warehouse for pomegranates and for dates? Is the warehouse that we speak about only a warehouse that's used for grain or for anything else? And all these questions, the Gemara remains with a teiku. And the Rosh Paskins, and we spoke about this in our previous year as well, since the Gemara doesn't have an answer to the question, you could allow, the baker is allowed to proceed with making his bakery. The Beis Halevi asks a question. He says, in our previous year when we spoke about the pit, there the Torah Paskin like the Rosh, that when we don't know, where the Gemara doesn't say it's Osir, the halacha is if you dig your pit and there's no other pit there, you don't have to make any preventive measures. Regarding our Gemara, the Torah Paskin's not like the Rosh and says that you're not allowed to open up the bakery once the upper part was prepared for an Oitzer. So the Beis Halevi explains the Torah's position by differentiating between the two cases. He says when one distances a pit without putting on the lime, the question is, does such a pit cause injury? And the Torah holds that we don't have to put the plaster since we don't know that the pit, we don't know for sure that the pit without the plaster will cause any damage. In the case of the bakery, there is no question that a bakery under a warehouse is going to ruin what's in the warehouse. That's not a question. The question is, can I maintain my bakery, or do I, if I knew that there's going to be a warehouse? So therefore, explains the Beis Halevi, the two cases are very, very different. There, we don't even know there's going to be damage. And since there, we're not certain if there's going to be damage, we could take a lenient approach. In our Gemara, we know that there's going to be damage. The only issue that we have to consider is that you have a right to make your store there or not. Therefore, we have to take a stricter approach. Bemis b'yayin hitiru, Tana b'yayin hitiru, we're allowed to have under a warehouse of wine, a bakery or a dye shop, nei she meshbichoy. Actually, the smell that comes out from these places makes the wine better. The lawyer refers Becker, but we may not have over there a barn, nei she mesrich liyayin. The smell of the animals actually harm the quality of the wine. Amar Yosef Hadadan, our wine, in Bavel, afil kutl de shagra, even the small amount of smoke that comes out from a candle, kashale, is very difficult for the wine. And therefore, obviously, the halacha that we learned about wine being different would not be applicable in Bavel. Amar of Shishva Asposa, if somebody puts grass, kerefes bakadamya, it's treated like a barn, because just like the animals give this bad odor, so does the aspasa, and whatever's the halacha by refes bakar will be the halacha by aspasa.